message with you. I've been very excited about this one. In preparing this, it's just been an absolute pleasure for me. It's so much more than I thought God was doing in the area of thankfulness. And, it's really transformed the way I think and the way I pray. And so I hope that today I will be able to just, impart some of that excitement about the things of God and just explore some scriptures to you. I'm going to be commending the virtue of thanksgiving to you today, not as a religious practice, but rather as an invitation to life. The scriptures are saturated with instructions on thanksgiving, and I'm hoping to show you some of the patterns and protocols of God that He's put in place for us to use this powerful key. So thankfulness keeps us connected to our history with God. It reminds us of what God has done yesterday, what He's doing today, what He's going to do tomorrow. It builds our faith and it helps us just to humble ourselves as we bring our petitions before God. It magnifies His name and, most importantly, it helps us to line up with His thoughts and do the main thing, which is aim for His glory. So these are the two kind of big scriptures of the day. Rejoice always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. And I just wanted to reverse that for a moment. If you don't give thanks in all circumstances, you won't be doing God's will you? Which is challenging. And then this other one, let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body you were called to peace and be thankful. Let the message of Christ dwell among you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom through psalms, hymns and songs from the Spirit, singing to God with gratitude in your heart. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. If you want to know what the will of God is, it's one of those questions we're always asking, isn't it? What's the will of God? The will of God is to be thankful. Sometimes, all the time. I looked up for the root word of always, and guess what it is? Always. I looked up the root word of all, and guess what that is? All. So this is a challenge, isn't it? To give thanks in all circumstances. And hopefully we can look at how we can do that. God's given us lots of good clues and ideas. It's like kind of like a bit of a secret that you guys may have already known about, but I'm just discovering. Thanksgiving is like a really powerful key. So you may think that thankfulness is not that important to God, but when He did this miracle of cleansing 10 lepers, there was only one who came back from Him to say thanks, and He noticed that. And I always wonder with this scripture, you know, is it kind of like a statistic on how thankful we are? Is it somehow kind of like 90% of us are unthankful for the goodness of God in our lives, for the things that He does, and only 10% of us actually come back and bother to thank God for the amazing things that He does in our lives? Besides that, it's mentioned somewhere between 150 and 195 times in the Bible, depending on your translation. So that's interesting. When we're looking at thankfulness today, I just wanted to kind of like draw some boundaries around what it is I'm actually trying to do. So there's gratitude, there's thankfulness, and there's praise. And for me, I just want to look at thankfulness or thanksgiving. So gratitude's more, well, this is what I think after looking at all the scriptures. Gratitude's more of like a heart condition. Thankfulness is more like an action. And praise is basically thanking God for who He is, whereas thankfulness is thanking God for what He's done. So it's a verb. Thankfulness is a verb. It requires action. Okay, next slide. This is what I'm going to do today. I'm going to explore what thankfulness actually is. And then we're going to look at how thankfulness is key to intercession, provision, deliverance, and presence. And then we're going to give thanks. So that's the plan for today. If you had asked me what thankfulness was before I did this study, I would have said thankfulness is a feeling. It's not a feeling. Thankfulness bypasses our emotions. Whatever our emotional state is, thankfulness goes beyond it. As you can see here, I've written it's a discipline, a practice, a virtue, a habit, a sacrifice, an attitude, a weapon, a command, a key, and a response to the goodness of God. So in Scripture, it's all of those things. And today I'm just really focusing on thankfulness to God, not to people, which is a great thing to do too. But today we're just going to be focusing on thankfulness to God. So thankfulness isn't something that can be imparted. It's not something that you're born with. It's something that you arrive at. It's a decision of the will. Anyone who's been a parent knows that to get your kids to be thankful is a training. You train them to be thankful. What's the magic word? What do you say? And sometimes you're like, man, those little snotters, they're just so ungrateful. And they're just so privileged and entitled. It's crazy. But then as they get older and the training really kicks in and then they have an experience of the world, they do come back and say, thank you. And it's just such a balm, isn't it, as a parent. And just you feel grateful and thankful that they are able to give thanks to you. And we need to be polite to our Father in heaven. We need to use our manners when we come before the Creator of the universe, who is so good to us and gives us so many good things. So, now, like all good things that are mandated by God, it's good for us to be thankful. It is like a muscle, a training that happens. Neuroscientists have found that people who are grateful have this part of their brain that is bigger than people who are not grateful. People who practice thankfulness have a part in their brain which is enlarged. It has grown as like a muscle grows when you work it out. And it makes us more resilient when things go haywire. It improves focus. It makes us more creative. An attitude of gratitude is actually foundational to healthy thinking. It has results in increased neurotransmitters like serotonin and dopamine. And I just love that. So it's this kind of circular thing that happens, like when we're grateful, it's kind of preparing us for the trials of life. It helps us to process negative emotions and, it just prepares us to know where to go when the trials of life come at us. So I'm talking all about this idea of thankfulness. I thought it might be really nice if we could just find someone to turn to and just let them know three things that you're grateful to the Lord for. Can you guys do that for me? For you guys. I'm just so thankful, and I'm thankful for the word of God. And yeah, Lord, we just thank you for your majesty and your goodness. We just thank you for all of the things that were mentioned here today. We just thank you that you are so kind and generous to us. And we thank you for all your benefits, that you forgive our sins, that you heal our diseases, that you redeem us from the life in the pit. Redeem our life from the pit, and you crown us with love and compassion. So now I just want to look at the four areas that we were going to talk about. The first one is intercession. Now, this has been really interesting. So every time Paul prays for people, he does this thing. I have not stopped giving thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers. So every time he prays, he says before it, I haven't stopped giving thanks for you. And if you look at, I don't know about all of his letters, but certainly Romans and Philippians and Colossians and 1 Thessalonians and Timothy, they've all got this pattern in them. So it's this pattern of first we thank, then we pray. And as I've been preparing for this, I decided that all of my prayers for this week were going to be exclusively prayers of thanksgiving. And oh my gosh, it was such an incredible release of the power of God to just think about the good things of a person before I actually pray for them. And I don't know about you guys, but some things are just designed to frustrate and annoy you. And in my house, it's our wardrobe. So we've got these big sliding mirrors, doors. And if anyone else who also uses the wardrobe might leave their drawer open or their shoe out, when I try to open my side of the wardrobe, bang. And then I have to walk about 1.5 metres over to the other side, pop in the drawer, pick up the shoe, shut the thing, and then go back and do my business. And that journey, that 1.5 metre journey, is often a journey of deep intercession from our husband. I am like, oh God, help Brad. And anyway, because this week, when it happened, it's okay, darling, when it happened, I was like, oh, I can't do that. I need to be thankful for him first. And so God caused me to remember all the lovely things about my husband. And he started with what he'd done that morning. And that morning, he'd literally prayed for all of our children and myself. He had asked me, is there anything I can do for you today? He'd made the bed. He'd gone outside into the car and then realised my handbag was in it, turned the car off, come back inside, put the handbag down. But yet, I was just so infuriated with him for leaving his drawer open and causing the drama with the very ill-designed wardrobe situation. And then from that point, God just kept reminding me of the lovely things about my husband. And I thought, oh yeah, probably could do worse. He's amazing. He's so gorgeous. And I think that that's really important. When you come before the Lord with a petition for someone else, A, is it for you? That prayer that I make in that 1.5 metre journey probably isn't from Brad. It's not really intercession, is it? It's for me. It's like I want a frustration removed from my life. And also, if you're coming before God about one of his children, one of his beautiful creations, I think that your prayers are going to be way more on target for his glory if you are aligning your mind with his mind about that person. So that was my learning around being thankful before I pray for someone. And it's true also of our petitions. If you sit there and you think of all the good things God has done first in your life, before you ask for the deficit in your life, you will find that the list is extremely long. It's so long and so good and so just steeped in his favour. And it's just a really good psychological thing to do. I just think that your list of thankfulness to God needs to be like much longer than your list of complaining to God. That's my hot tip. Jesus feeding the 5,000. We all know this story. So there's a lot of people and he has only got a very small amount of food. And so what does he do? In his lack, he is grateful to God. He gives thanks to God for something that should not go all the way. And what does God do? He multiplies it. So that to me is like just Jesus showing us, just be thankful for what you have and he will use it. He will use it to bless you and to bless those around you. And it is a thing, isn't it? It's like, oh, how do you be thankful in all situations? Can we be thankful for a bad diagnosis, lack of finances, breakdown of relationship? It's hard to be thankful in those places. It's hard to be thankful for sin. All of these things are hard. But I have really enjoyed the John Mark Comer stuff that we've been doing in home group. And he really kind of acknowledges that it's quite unhealthy just to gloss over all those negative things, the trauma and the heartbreak that life brings. And he invites us to take hold of those negative emotions and those negative experience and just bring them down and present them to the Lord. I don't think that we should be thankful for sin, but I do think that we should be thankful for who God can be in those places for us in our times of lack or when terrible things happen, that he's there. And certainly the psalmist, I was very interested because, like, the psalms are full of lament. There's a lot of sadness in those psalms. There's a lot of just being real before God, showing him all those really, really vulnerable places that we may not share with others. And but also there's a lot of thanks in those psalms as well. So it's this whole process, I guess, and being thankful not necessarily for the hard things, but for who God can be in those hard things. And I kind of look at it like if you walk into a room and it's really dark, you don't have to chase away all the dark things. All you have to do is just open up the curtains and the light comes in. And thankfulness is a little bit like that. It's rather than trying to deal with those hard things. And Jonah is a really good example of this. So these are three scriptures about God delivering people through the key of thankfulness in their lives. So in 2 Chronicles, when they've got armies coming against them, so Judah, the nation of Judah starts yelling shouts of thanksgiving and praise to the Lord, and then God sends an ambush against them and they're defeated. Amen? That's so cool. As soon as they give thanks, God intervenes and does it. And then Jonah, this is a cool one. So Jonah's having a bad time. We all know about it. He's been disobedient. He's complaining to God, oh my gosh, you know, like the waves came and I had seaweed tangled around me. It was a really hard time. And then he remembers God. How often have we done that? We're in the storms of life. There's lots of hectic stuff going on. We're trying to manage it ourselves. And then we're like, oh, God, that's right. And then what does he do? He says, but I will sacrifice to you with the voice of thanksgiving, and I will pay what I have vowed. Salvation is the Lord. So the Lord spoke to the great sea creature and it vomited Jonah onto dry land. So see that activation? As soon as he remembered God and gave thanks to God, that's when it happened. And then the third one, Acts 16. Oh yeah, Paul and Silas, they're in prison. So they get put in prison for driving out a demon. It displeased some people. They end up in prison. And instead of like complaining and wallowing, what they do is they start singing hymns of praise and thanksgiving to the Lord. And what happens? Does anyone remember what happens? There's an earthquake and all of the doors are opened up and all of the chains are broken. Imagine that. You can get freedom just by being around people who are thankful. Amazing. That's amazing. If you need freedom in an area of your life, find a thankful person. Ask them to pray for you. So good. It's so interesting, that story. They didn't even leave. They're like, nah, we're not going. We deserve better than this. They end up with an escort out of there. You know, God has turned that situation, pivoted on that whole area of thanksgiving and released them. It is so good. It's so good. I love it. I love it. I love it. I love it. Bill Johnson says this: thankfulness is a spiritual weapon that sanctifies situation, taking what the enemy meant for evil and turning it into a benefit for God's people. Amen? So when we've got bad situations in our life, we can sanctify it through thankfulness to our God. Amen? All right. Okay. Now, this is my last point. My last point is that God has given us a protocol with which to approach Him. And this is where I first realized that thankfulness is a key. So we enter His gates with thanksgiving. The Passion Translation says it's like a passcode into the gates of the courts of the Lord. And then give thanks to Him and praise His name is that kind of like second level. So we start by remembering His goodness and thanking Him for all the things. And then we step into praising Him for who He is. And I just love that scripture. I just love it. So that's how we're instructed to come to the Lord. We're instructed to come with thanksgiving. And I hope that as I've talked today that you have, just seen the power that can come from a simple act of just saying, thank you, Lord, for the good things that you have done and will continue to do. And I was wondering if the worship team could come up and we could sing the last song you sang, because that was amazing. And I would invite you all to just stand up with an attitude of thanksgiving to the Lord. If you would like to come down the front and just raise your hands in gratitude for everything that He's done for you, you're very welcome. And I guess the challenge is, I've been asking the Lord for a long time now, how do we get the sustained presence of the Holy Spirit in this place? How do we sustain that presence? I mean, we feel it from time to time, whatever. But this is the key, thanksgiving. Imagine if we reverse that statistic. Imagine if the people of Overflow gave thanks 90% of the time. Imagine if we were grateful as a community for the things that God has done and for the things that He's going to do. I just think there's power in it. And so I just invite you to use this muscle of thankfulness as a powerful tool to just, sustain the presence of God and just aim for His glory. Jesus' name.